The following audio is from the weekly message at Summit Church in the upstate of South Carolina. More information is available at summitupstate.org.
So good to be here with all of you. My name is Kyle Stepp. I'm one of the pastors and elders at Summit. I spend most of my Sundays at our Cherrydale congregation, or at least have for the last several years, but more and more spending Sundays at all of our Summit congregations and really looking forward to it. I think it's been several years since I've been here on Sunday morning, which is crazy because it used to happen all the time. So it's really, really sweet to be back with you. And I'm going to try to teach through this passage of Scripture and our thoughts about community this morning, but I can't stop thinking about that third M that Doug needs for his group. So maybe it'll come to you during the service as well. No, it is a sweet thing to gather with you. It's a sweet thing to hear all of you singing truth about God back to Him. What a privilege we have in worship to do that. And this morning, just want it to be a tangible reminder that that privilege is heightened by the fact that we get to do it together. There is a beauty to the fact that God redeems us individually as persons that He made in His image. There's a power to that, there's a beauty to that, and we're not diminishing that, but there is something profoundly remarkable that God did when He said, I'm making for myself a people together. So we are, as a matter of fact, bound to Jesus Christ if we know Him by faith. We've been made new, we're new creations. His death and resurrection has become a covering for us that makes us new and redeems and reconciles us to the Father once and for all. And that is a beautiful, wonderful thing. And we are bound to Christ because of it. But the Scriptures also teach that we are bound to one another in the body of Christ. There is something God's doing in and through His Spirit and the work of His Spirit in all of us that is uniting us together in Christ as well. And so the kind of beauty of what God does for us as individuals and as a body, a corporate community together, is some of the things we're going to highlight this morning. If you have your Bibles, you can open to Ephesians chapter 3. Doug read this passage of Scripture over us. We're going to jump into it kind of briefly. I think we probably said this last week at all of our congregations. We'll say it again this morning. We love to teach through books of the Bible. As a matter of fact, we're excited in February to jump back into the Gospel of Mark. We've been plowing through the Gospel of Mark all the way up until Advent, stopped for a moment to think about the reality of the inaugurated kingdom of God in Christ Jesus in the flesh when He came as an answer to the promise God had made, and the anticipation of the kingdom that is coming when Jesus Christ returns. And we live in this time between, and we talked a lot about how to live in that moment, that tension between the Advents, between the kingdom realities of Jesus Christ. And then this new year, really trying to frame the year in a way that we say, hey, intimacy, community, and mission are really a framework for how we think about spiritual formation in our lives. And we wanted to do that, but we're excited to jump back into the Gospel of Mark in February and keep plowing through that book together. And I say that because this morning, we're going to dip down into Ephesians chapter 3 and pop back out and talk about some things practically. And normally we love to just hang in there for a little while longer. We did just teach through Ephesians last fall, 2021. And so if you'd like to go back and go further with us in the book of Ephesians, you can. This morning might feel just a little bit different than that. And I wanted to acknowledge that with all of you. I want to start, before we jump into Ephesians chapter 3, reminding us of the why. Why are we talking about these things? Why do we care about community and life groups and building relationships with each other? Why do we actually stop and consider what it means to have profound intimacy with God in the context of community where we're growing and maturing in Christ Jesus? It's for where that leads us, where the Scriptures teach that takes us, kind of the bullseye of why we do life together in the beauty of the gospel. And that is why we exist as a church, so that every man, woman, and child would have the repeated opportunity to see, hear, and understand the gospel of Jesus Christ without them ever having to come or go anywhere. That's why we existed since before we actually started. When there were just families sitting in living rooms thinking about starting together, when we were talking about why would you even consider another church in the buckle of the Bible Belt of South Carolina? Why would you actually consider continuing to plant churches and support other church plants and partner with churches and try to revitalize churches? Why would you care about any of that? It's because we believe God is still calling people to himself, people far from God, close to us, people that God still longs to redeem, because when he's done doing that, he will come. He will fulfill the promise. Everything he's promised will come true, fully and ultimately. And so in the meantime, we participate with him. He's the one doing it, but we want to be active participants in giving people tangible access to the reality of the gospel. And one of the ways they actually have tangible access, I know there's churches on every street corner in the South. I get it. I understand it. I drive by them. You drive by them. But access comes when people who have been redeemed by the beauty and power of the gospel allow it to shape and transform them in such a way that wherever they go in the world, people see living, palpable, tangible evidence of the power of the gospel on display. And that means everything you do in life, everywhere you go in life, everywhere you live and shop and your kids go to school and you go to work, every part of your life has the potential to be a living, tangible, accessible declaration of the good news of the gospel. And that's a beautiful privilege. That's a powerful privilege. That changes everything about life. And that's why we care about these things together, because one of the primary ways that that gets lived out is when the people of God, the people of Summit, are growing and maturing in our intimacy with God in Christ Jesus through his Spirit, bound to and submitting ourselves to the power of his word in the context of community for the sake of those who don't know Jesus. I think of Acts chapter 17, refer to this often in my own life when Paul's preaching and teaching and he's trying to explain to people the real beauty of who God is and what God's been up to. And Paul says something really wonderful in Acts chapter 17. He says, do you know this God who made all things? Do you know that he actually appointed the time you would live and the boundary lines of your dwelling? Do you think you're here by accident, that you live where you live by accident, work where you work by accident, know the people you know by accident? Maybe, just maybe, God's up to something profoundly beautiful in the world, and he has desired all along from the beginning that he would use you in those places for his glory, for the good and benefit of others, to have access to who he is and to what he's up to. That's the why for us. And our formation in Christ, therefore, is undeniably linked to our participation in the mission of God. And it starts to beg the question of us, therefore, what or who is forming us the most? What or who is shaping our lives the most? Because the truth is, and we looked at this even last week, we are always being formed, either intentionally or unintentionally. We are always thinking and wondering and discovering and asking questions and making decisions and reacting to things and people all around us, and formed by what's happening. Sometimes passively, we just kind of go through life and things happen around us and to us and we're formed by those things. But I think the invitation of the Holy Spirit and the beauty of the gospel is you can be intentional in the formation of your life. You can actually grow up in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. You can learn to bear the realities of the gospel at work within you in such a way that you make decisions and you react and you see the world and you engage the world differently because of who Christ is at work in you. And that invitation is the living God looking at all of you and at me and saying, I want you to know me. I know you through and through, all the way to the bottom. All the worst about you, I already knew, and I still set my affections upon you and demonstrated my love for you even when you wanted nothing to do with me. I sent my son, my one and only son, my beloved, on your behalf. I want to draw you in to see that I know you and I want you to know me. but that leads you somewhere, and I have a context where that will be most beneficial for you. What is that context where God desires for our intimacy with Him to be primarily discovered and enjoyed? Community with others. It's Him together. That's what He built. That's what He wants. That's His design. And He designed that He would use His beautiful, powerful truth at work in all of us through the kindness of His Spirit to grow us up and mature us and send us out into the world so that people might have access to who He is and hear the good news and respond to it. One way or the other, that's not on us. Ephesians chapter 3, Paul prays a beautiful prayer. And this is what he says. Doug read this earlier. I want to read it again over us. Starting in verse 14. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of His glory, He may grant you to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to Him who's able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Let's pray together. Father God, would you help open our eyes and our ears and our hearts and our minds, help us to see, to hear, to understand, and be transformed by your truth. Help us to realize the real power, the profound gift that you've given all of us to have the opportunity to experience the love of Christ together. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Imagine, if you would, for a moment, some of the most significant moments of your life. Imagine those moments in your life that stand out as substantial marks of God's grace, like monuments in your life that you look back on. The good ones. Let's think for just a moment of all the highlight moments of life. For some of you, that's, you know, remembering the small things like your first car. Remembering when you graduated high school or college, or your wedding day, the birth of a child, the first job you ever landed, the first house you ever bought, the first grandchild for some of you in this room as well, or for some of you, the retirement party you got to have, and for the rest of you, the retirement party you hope you someday get to have. Remember the days of when you began to discover for the first time that God loves you, and you came to know that and understand that and put your faith in Jesus Christ. And think about the people who are a part of that. For many of you in this room, you can think about when you were baptized and who was there for that moment in your life. And what you start to understand is it's always interesting as you reflect on these major, monumental, highlight moments of your life. There's always people there. Significant relationships are a part of that story for you. Almost all of those scenarios, if you think about them in your own life, there are people that your memory will associate with those moments in your life. Substantial people, long-lasting friendships, family members, mentors, people who've discipled you and shaped you. And you remember things about those moments, not just because you were there, but because other people were there with you. I remember my wedding day, right? That's a big one. I should. I remember everything about it. I remember so many details about it. I remember who stood by me. I remember who was standing by my wife. I remember who played the music at our wedding. I remember that the guy who did our wedding, which was my wife's childhood pastor growing up, called me by the wrong name in the middle of the wedding. He did it on rehearsal night, and we told him, please don't do that. And he's like, oh, don't worry, these are old notes. I'll scratch it and replace it. And then in the next day, he does it again. My wife stared a hole right through his soul, like when he did it. And it was fine. Everybody laughed. And so those things get locked in. I remember being at one of my best friend's weddings in college. He got married outside in St. Louis in like some botanical gardens. It was beautiful, but it was like 101 degrees, and we're all standing there in black suits. I mean, I was just like, buddy, come on. And the DJ doesn't show up. He doesn't show up. He comes flying in disheveled 5 minutes before the wedding. He's supposed to do it. It's an outdoor wedding. He's got all the sound equipment. He tries to set it up real quick, and none of it works. So they come, this is a true story. They came to me and said, I was supposed to sing one song, and you're going to have to sing that a cappella. Is that okay? I was like, yeah, it's fine. It was like a hymn, so I was going to sing it a cappella, no big deal. One more thing. When she comes around the corner to come down the aisle, can you invite everybody to with you, Kyle, you lead this, to hum her down the aisle? True story. That's how she came down the aisle. You think she's forgetting that day? She is not forgetting that day, ever. And I'm pretty sure she still writes a letter a year to that DJ. Maybe, maybe not. I don't know. I would, probably. That's not gracious, but I'm a work in progress. So imagine all of those things. Now, the flip side is also true. Imagine all of the most painful and difficult moments of your life. There are some weighty things in this life in a broken world where sin has corrupted everything God made for good. There are things in life that are burdensome and heavy and discouraging and hopeless and weighty, and to be carrying them alone is quite possibly one of the most tragic things in life. Isolation feels like the exact opposite of everything we just enjoyed together. And one of the things that's actually helpful is when you look back on nearly every painful and difficult moment of your life, one of the most powerful things you can remember is who was there. Who was there who sat with you and knew that they didn't have to talk? Who was there who grieved with you, who listened to you, who held you, who spoke encouraging words over you, who genuinely prayed for you, who held on to faith when you felt like giving up, who at times spoke hard but necessary and loving things to you? You remember those people too. Those people stand in your memory on purpose because in a similar way but for different reasons, they too are monuments of grace. And all of this reminds us that maybe, just maybe, life was never intended by God to be isolated. It was never intended to be an individualistic adventure where you prove to everybody you can do it on your own. Because sadly, you won't. Maybe there was always something that the triune God had in mind with the role of community in the life of his beloved children. Maybe there was always something true in him that he wanted to share with us. You look at Ephesians chapter 3 and the Apostle Paul praying for the church in Ephesus, all of the church represented in Ephesus, and you can stop and step back and listen to what he describes, and you hear those words and you have to think to yourself, what a prayer. I mean, those words are rich in truth, but they're saturated with loving care. Paul's heart for these believers is on display, and truthfully, you and I could live here for a really long time with what Paul is actually saying, that God has always intended that the full experience of his love and the eternal abundant life that he brings was to be experienced in community. How do you know? Because look at Paul's prayer, that you may have the strength to comprehend with who? Yourself? By yourself? No, with who? All the saints. And that every you that Paul actually writes in this letter is like more properly translated in the Southern tradition or translation, y'all. And it's not even just, it's y'alls. Like, it's a bunch of y'alls up in this book here that he's actually writing. He says to you, but it's always you all. It's you plural. I'm writing all of you. So my prayer is for all of you. Does Paul want you individually to grow up in the maturity of Jesus Christ and the depth of knowledge of his love? Absolutely. But he wants you to have that together, bound to Christ, bound to one another. So he looks at all of them, all of us. All these years later the prayer is still echoing from Paul for his church, for this church, and for the church of Christ with all the saints to know God intimately, to know the depth of his love. But there was an intentional prayer going on in Paul's heart. Lord, let it happen with all of them. Let it happen together with them. Let them sing it together and feel it together and experience it together and tell it together and know it together. If we are, in fact, a people being formed by those who are around us in some way, shape, or form, then it's actually all the more necessary that we recognize this call to formation in the context of community, brothers, sisters in Christ, who can spiritually mature together. That's the assumption of Scripture, that we are one together in the Lord, and he is using the whole body to display his mercy and his grace and his creativity and his love and his affection and his care, and therefore all of us have the opportunity to grow and mature together in intimacy with him, and we're better for it together. Now, why does that matter that Paul's praying this? That Christ may dwell in your hearts. This is the only time he talks about this. You can go to places like Colossians chapter 3 and you see Paul pray a very similar prayer. That the life we share together has an impact on how we understand Christ and what the world sees and knows and understands about him as well. Here, that Paul would pray that you and I would actually have Christ dwelling in our hearts through faith, that you plural, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. Meaning, hey, guess what, church? You can keep diving in to the depths of God's love and you'll never hit the bottom. You can keep swimming in his grace and his mercy and his steadfast love that you sang about, and it'll never run out. You can throw yourself on his mercy in a dry season, and you can throw yourself in his joy when you're in a season that just feels like it's overwhelmingly good. And in both seasons, you will find a God who says, come here. Come here with me together. I'm doing something here. I started it. I promised I'd finish it. You think anything's going to stop me? That's the beauty of this invitation, but also the beauty of Paul's prayer. And where does that lead us? Growing and maturing in his love together. What's Paul praying? That the end result of that prayer would bring, the end result of that pursuit together would bring. Paul says, I want all of that so that, what? You, all, may be filled with all the fullness of God. Paul's prayer says that growing and maturing in God's love together and the love of Christ, actually dwelling on it, thinking about it, exploring it, discovering it, speaking it to one another, singing it together, praying it together, encouraging and admonishing one another with it, speaking to each other when it's hard to do so, speaking to each other when somebody's ready to let go of that love. You're holding all of that because the Spirit's at work in you. You're holding all of that in front of you. Why? Because that's what brings fullness. That's how you get filled up with all the fullness of God. That's how you enjoy the beauty of all that God's actually doing. That's how you enjoy all the beauty of who God actually is. And it's actually what God wants to give. If you remember in John chapter 15, when Jesus himself is talking, he says, hey, if you love me, obey my commands. Like, you'll want to get on with what I'm leading you toward. You'll want to be obedient to those things. Why does Jesus say that? Do you know what he says right after that? so that my joy may be in you. That's right. The joy of Jesus Christ might dwell and be in you. And then he goes a step further. And your joy, overflow. I want you to obey. Not because I'm a killjoy, not because I want to control and manipulate your life. I want you to obey the things that God wants. Why? Because it leads you to joy. And I want you to do that together. And that's what Paul's praying, that you and I would plunder the depths of God's love in Christ Jesus through the Spirit's help in the context of the Word and community together. Why? Because that's where joy and fullness is. That's where you get filled up to a life that God intends for you to live, and you start to actually believe what Paul prays to finish his prayer. God can do anything through those kinds of people. And that's actually where God wants to do the work. Now to him who's able to do far more abundantly than we ask or think according to the power at work. Where? In us, through the Spirit, together. To him be glory in the church. Where? In the church. And in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. We are sometimes prone to view as optional what Scripture assumes to be non-negotiable. In Scripture, there is absolutely no category for a healthy, isolated Christian. The question is not, will you be a part of community? You already are. God, in Christ, through the Spirit, determined it. How? Because when you said yes to Jesus, God says, you're a part of my body, my bride, for Christ. You're a part of my beloved family, sons and daughters, adopted, made righteous because of the righteousness of Jesus Christ. You already belong. So the question is not, will you be a part of that family of God? Will you be a part of that community? If you're already in Christ, the question in truth is, how will you be a part of that community? What kind of participant will you be in the life of the community God granted to you through his Son Jesus Christ and through his Spirit, holding as a seal and a promise through the Spirit that one day he will actually complete everything he started? Will I participate in the way in which the Lord has invited, contributing to the good and growth of others, bound by the Spirit to grow in intimacy with Jesus and to do so with one another? I think that is, in fact, this beautiful prayer and invitation. What a wonderful thing. That God's power is at work within us, individually and collectively, I acknowledge. And what he can do in and through his people reaches beyond our common imaginations. It would be a quite joyous and adventurous mission together if we decided that invitation is worth our life. I think practically, and Dusty will share more about this in the coming days and has already shared some about this with life groups, and part of it affects life groups, but it affects our life together. The fact of the matter is we're just acknowledging life has rhythms. So sometimes you have the rhythms of life, like for many of us, a school year affects the rhythm of life, right? It runs a certain cycle. It kind of puts an order to life. Most parents enjoy that order. They love summer break until about July 4th, and they're like, when's that order come back? That'll feel great. And so there's a rhythm to life. And so some of the things that we're talking about are just trying to match some of the natural rhythms of life to some of the ways in which we equip and encourage and share life together. And so you'll hear some of the practical things changing about maybe new life group rhythms, meaning there are times in August and January where it's more easy and natural to jump into a group context. Not that you can't come in other times, but just more natural. And then that those groups are staying more committed to times together and purposeful times together around reading the Scriptures and caring for one another and living intentionally toward those who don't know Jesus together. And so we'll hear more of that coming as well. And then we're trying to call each other to not a sense of commitment to community for the sake of commitment, a sense of there is a meaningful way in which we belong and participate that is not just for our own benefit, but for the benefit of others. And so we'll be talking a little bit about what does it mean to kind of lock in and care for each other substantially for perhaps an entire year together. And then if God opens the door for you to lead something else, try something else, be formed in another opportunity that we're offering or something, great. But just putting some actual commitment in front of us together and matching these rhythms in life that we share together, no matter what they are. And there's multiple ways for people to connect, not just life groups. And you'll hear more about that in the coming weeks and months as well. We're constantly looking for ways to help people understand there is a beauty to be experienced in community, and we're going to offer as much access to that as we can and call people to that as much as we can for the sake of being formed together. And I think that allows for us occasionally to just ask a few questions. I'm just going to leave these with you. We're not going to dive into them. I just want you to be willing to ask them and let the Spirit work through the word, and then consider Paul's prayer. What's Paul praying versus sometimes the way maybe I approach community? The first question is this: do you consume community or receive it and the gift that it actually offers? And all I mean by that is there are wonderful benefits to receive from God's grace of life together with other believers. We're not denying that. There is a gracious, beautiful benefit to that. We talked already, some of the most difficult, painful moments of life are now monuments of God's grace, because we look back and see we weren't alone. There were people there. That's a gift to receive, right? But I do think there are times we engage community just to consume for our needs and nothing else. And when we do that, it robs the real power of what God intended for us to experience together. And so I think it's worth posing to my heart even, and to yours as well, do I consume it? Community, do I regularly look for only what it offers me, or do I bring something to that context that is to the benefit of another? And that really leads to perhaps just part B of that question, maybe, instead of a second question. Do you actually take time to consider how God's gifted you and wired you and what God is teaching you as a means to be a gift to the community? Like, nothing done in your life is wasted in the context of community. God's placed you in various places of life on purpose. That happens here. That happens outside of here. Do you think often, or at least take time to consider, before you step into places where you're not alone? So that could be at work, school, church, life group, Bible study, men's night, women's night. And it can be in the context of gathering with neighbors. And do you ever just stop and say, Lord, I'm walking into this space. What am I bringing there for your sake? Can I live with my eyes open while I'm there and my heart attuned to who you are and what you're up to? Not just in my life, in the lives of people around me. Thirdly, do you intentionally prepare for times that God actually grants you to enjoy and enter into community with others? I mean, at a base level, for me, this is about, do I consider sleep? Do I ever consider how it affects me before I go into the context of community? I'm just talking about Sunday morning, although there's a space for that, I'm sure. Do I consider whether or not I'm praying before I enter into that room? Asking God to lead, trying to listen to what he's up to, and see and pay attention to what he's up to? Do I come in postured to serve and encourage? And listen, does that mean you can't come in here and say, hey, I got to be honest with the body, I need the encouragement today? No, that's the beauty. Like, the beauty is you get to come in, if you're prayerful and thoughtful, you get to enter into that space, whatever that communal space is that God's providing, and go, this is what I'm bringing, this is what I'm trying to pay attention to, or this is what I need today. And maybe lastly, this is a tough one, and I'll be honest, it's a tough one for all of us, myself included, but do you embrace the messiness and remarkable mercy that comes from pursuing and learning to appreciate community with people who aren't just your best friends? Look, I have best friends, and I love time with those friends, and I love time with my family, and I think prioritizing that time is extremely important, because that's community, that's life, and a gift of grace. I think that there is a lot of substantial growth in the fruit of the Spirit that can happen when we actually work for the establishment of community on the sole basis that we are bound to one another and bound to Christ. And we let community grow up from that, which means sometimes you get in a group and you go, that personality is not the easiest for me. So, Lord, you're going to have to do something there. You're going to have to work on that there. This connection is not natural for me. I'm going to have to work on that. I'm going to have to feel that out. This rhythm is a lot of work for me. I'm going to submit to that because I think you're up to something you're actually shaping in me that might be for their good as well. So I'm going to submit myself to that. And I'm not trying to say, Dusty said already, does that mean you can't move to another group? Let somebody know if it's getting really hard or difficult, or actually be honest about the fact that sometimes things aren't real smooth? No, I'm saying you can because of that. That's the beauty of grace and community. If the gospel's true, all of us should be able to talk about what it's like to do life with each other. Played a dangerous little game with my own family once, just recently, after the new year. We're going to go around, everybody's going to talk about something that's really hard about about life together in our house with each other, and then we're going to give two or three things that make it really great. That means you're going to have to share something that might about each person that's kind of sometimes hard. My kids are... I think my kids are thinking, like, how honest are we actually allowed to be? Like, looked at each other like, you think we can tell him? It was so powerful. But I think there's a beauty when groups start to figure out that there's a space to go, that, I don't know if, that didn't feel right. That didn't sound good. That was hard for us to hear. Every time we get together, it feels like this is happening. Let's talk about it. I'm not saying it's easy. I'm just saying if the gospel's true and the gift of community is actually a gift God gives, then there's a space to actually go for it. Paul's prayer, I think, echoes the prayer we have for life together, where the people of God are growing and maturing in Christ within the context of community for the sake of those who don't know Jesus, where the people of God are prioritizing intimacy with God and the knowledge of His love in the context of time and relationship with one another, and intentionally praying for and engaging with the world around them for the sake of the people that God created and loves. That, I think, is an echo from Paul's prayer in Ephesians chapter 3. I'm going to ask Doug and Ashley to come back up. And as they come back up, I was thinking about all the things, you know, that you might articulate to kind of summarize what it is that I hope we understand about life together in the framework of the gospel and in the nature of Christ's love. And it seems foolish to summarize it any other way than to pray over you Paul's words yet again. Father, I echo Paul's prayer, and I pray it on behalf of my own heart and behalf of the people who have gathered here today at Summit Easley. And really, Lord, the people who have gathered at Summit. And truthfully, Lord, I hope and pray it's a prayer you will hear and answer and continue to bring to life in your church made up of all of Christ's people around the world. For this reason, bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of His glory, He may grant you to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints forever what is the breadth and length and height and depth, to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to Him who's able to do far more abundantly than all we can ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to Him be glory throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.
Thank you for joining for this week's message. Summit Upstate's mission is to give every man, woman, and child the repeated opportunities to see, hear, and respond to the gospel. We'd love to connect with you, so we invite you to reach out to us at summitupstate.org.